I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the American Missionary Church, Apostle Joel Obobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teaching that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the apostle now as he ministers the word of God.
Wow, what a blessing. God's love is greater than anybody's love or any other kind of love. Amen. It's good to see you all in church today, and for those of you who are visiting us for the first time, I'm glad you were able to make it, and I trust that you will not leave here the same. Amen. The reason is that anybody who comes to God can expect a change. Can expect something unusual, can expect a touch from God, because God is not like any man. God is all powerful, God is all knowing, God is supernatural. Supernatural means anything above natural. So you have a right to expect anything supernatural from God. And I pray that today God will meet you at the point of your need. Amen. So let's share a quick word of prayer before we sit down. Father, we thank you for this afternoon and thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and thank you for what you are here to do. I ask, Lord, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Teach us your word today, Lord, and may we not be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to share with you a very simple and yet very popular story from the Bible, and the story comes from the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15 and from verse 11. It says that he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You know, what this means is the younger son went to the dad and said that, you know, I mean, I see you're growing old, and any day you could pop off. So, I mean, why wait till you die before we start sharing your possessions and read a will and go to court and all those complexities? We could avoid them by sharing your possessions now, you know. So the father divided among them his living. He gave half to the younger brother and the other half remaining for the older son. And then that was it. Now in verse 13, it says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, right? He moved out of home. He traveled to another place, probably another state, another country, you know, just away from immediate control and immediate influence and all that, you see, so he could enjoy what he had gotten from his father. Now in verse 14, the Bible says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, now the reason why this happened is that in reality, as much as we would like to control our lives, there are seasons of it where we don't control what happens. Do you see? And most of our plans are based on what we control. So this guy, for example, told his father, give me the portion of goods. Then he collected everything. He moved out. He rented his own apartment, traveled to another state, went to live there, and assumed that everything would be okay according to his plan. But then, as it turned out, there arose a famine. That's something that nobody controls. It says there arose a famine, not like he generated a famine or that he bought a famine. No, you know, it's just a famine just came. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you make your plans and then somehow something comes from somewhere, you know, and just totally, you know, messes up the plan. COVID was a good one. Yes, COVID was an example, you know, but even such a basic example like rain. You know, you plan your wedding or your party for a particular date. You sent out all the cards and everything for that particular day. And then come the day, it rains. And your golf course wedding and all your dream. You find all your guests being you know, forced to a small place for shelter from the rain. You see, and everything is ruined. You get it. So that's what happened to this guy. And the Bible says that he began to be in want. You know, he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, you know, because sometimes our associations are forced by our circumstances. Do you see? Yeah, because of the situation you're in, you're forced to have somebody for a friend. You're forced to live with someone you wouldn't have chosen to live with. You're forced to work a job that you wouldn't have liked to work. Do you get it? You're forced to do something because, you know, we all have a survival instinct that kicks in and you have to do what you have to do. So he did what he had to do, which is to go live with a citizen of that country. And then that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. You get it? Because, you know, you join yourself to someone, and then that person introduces you to a new life that's even worse than what you're running away from. Because this guy is in want, but at least he's not hanging out with pigs. You see, swine is an old word for pigs. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now look at the next verse. Verse 16 says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Can you see that? Yes, it says he would fain have, fain means he would have willingly fed himself, or he would have been pleased to eat what the pigs were eating. I mean, you can imagine that this is really bad. The guy is in a bad situation. I mean, when he began to be in want, that was bad enough. But then his next decision of going to join himself with somebody else, who pushed him further and sent him to a place where he had not been before, that was even worse. And now he's kind of hanging out with the pigs and fighting with the pigs for their food, you know. And so he says, and no man gave to him. No man gave to him. Nobody helped him. Because one of the things you should understand about help is that help comes from God. Amen. Do you get it? And if God does not organize help towards you, you will not be helped. You know, look at this verse, and just we'll come back to this in a moment. But let's go to John 3:27. John chapter 3 and verse 27. And he says, John answered and said, can you read this with me, please? Everybody look on the screen and read this particular verse with me, please. 1, 2, 3, go. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven, right? That a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So the situation this guy is in, with no man giving anything to him, means then that heaven had been shut towards him. Do you see? Yes. Then in verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger. You know, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Do you see? Then he says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. So he probably came home without shoes. Right. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. Amen. This is a beautiful family story. At least the end puts a smile on our faces. Amen. Now, I just want to draw your attention to something. In verse 16, it says, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, you know, and no man gave unto him. And then in verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, which means then that up to this point, this boy is not himself. See, now that's the whole point of my short message today. How that you can actually live a life that you're so proud of and be unconscious of the reality that you are actually not yourself. that you are not living the life you're living. That the choices you're making are not your choices. That you are not you. You are under the influence of someone. You are under the influence of some force. You are under the influence of some power. You are under the influence of some something, you know. And I know anybody who is real and truthful will understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you wonder, what makes me do this? Who has asked themselves that question before? Yeah. Why am I even doing this? Even the other day, I was eating something, and then at a point, I realized, you know what? I'm not even enjoying this. It's like, why am I even doing this? You see, and sadly, there are many of us who are living under such an influence where we are not ourselves. We are not ourselves. So this guy spoke confidently. He got up one day. He went to his dad and said, Dad, I want to talk to you. You know, sometimes when you want to get a grown-up's attention, you speak to them first thing in the morning. So he must have gone to his dad's room maybe right around 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, and knocked on the door and said, I want to speak to you. So the dad, I mean, if your son calls you up to speak to you at 6 a.m., you take him seriously. Yes. And then he says, I want to leave home. Yes. I have some friends out of state. I found a job in some place. You know, it's always garnished and decorated nicely. And says, I've met somebody I want to move in with. I want to go to such and such a place. You know, and he speaks confidently. And yet he's not himself. Then the next step, he packs all his things and separates himself from his family, his biological family, the people who have loved him, the people who have raised him, the people who have fed him, the people who drove him to school, elementary school, high school, who have been there for him, who have helped him, people who have fought and quarreled with teachers on his behalf. Yeah, because every mother believes their son is right. They would go to the school and they'll fight and argue with the teacher. Why did you send my son on suspension? Yes, he's a good boy. Even though she knows, even she is having a hard time at home. But that's what mothers do. Do you see? Yes. Thank God for mothers. Amen. Yes. So he left home and did it confidently. And it's not until we read later in the story that we find out that even the act of leaving home was not something he did in his right mind. He was not himself. He was not himself, and that's why he left home. And he traveled far away. He put a distance between himself and all the people who loved him. And we come to find out that he's doing this because he's not himself. He's not himself. Do you see? And then when things get really bad, he has a chance to turn around. Do you see? He has a chance to come back home because things are really bad. But instead, he makes a decision to go and join himself with a citizen of that country. Do you see? Now, I don't know what that means. But obviously, he was a foreigner in that place. And he thought that things would get better if he hung out with some of the citizens of the place. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. People join themselves to citizens for different reasons. Yeah. Some for marriage, some for immigration, some for jobs, some for accommodation, different things. But, you know, somehow it seems one of the ways out of difficulty is to join yourself to a citizen. So this guy went and he joined himself to the citizen. But to his surprise, the citizen introduced him to a new life that was worse than what he had before. It is the citizen who introduced the guy to the pigs. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know, sometimes we have an opportunity to make a U-turn. Do you see? But when you miss the U-turn, you find yourself still going further, you know, hoping that one day, continuing your southward journey, it will turn into north. Now, this has happened to me before. One day I was driving somewhere. And I was just going, just going. Then suddenly it occurred to me that I should have been going north instead of south. And I had gone like south, like almost like maybe 50, 60 miles, like down south. Do you see? Yes. So I said to my, those were the days before, you know, GPS. Those days we used to use something called MapQuest. Yeah. Yes, and you print it out. Yes. So you are pretty much limited to what you have printed out. Yes. Now, when I found out, I should have made a U-turn. But then I said to myself, 60 miles down. There has to be a way. You get it? To make a U-turn and drive up another 60 miles is too much. So, you know, let's find a way. Like if I can just keep going this way and just come off and just go somehow, I might just end up where I'm going. So I didn't take my U-turn. And I tried to continue in that direction. Now I was lost. I was lost. I tell you. And the MapQuest, of course, wouldn't help. So I had to now start asking people, how do I go to... That's when somebody told me, oh, you want to go to such and such a place? Oh, you are so far away. You should be in the other direction. It wasn't until I humbly accepted my mistake and took some guidance from these people to come back to the freeway and start heading north, you know, that things began to change for me. Do you see? Yeah. Sometimes when things are bad, you know, the people we connect ourselves to just make it worse. They just make it worse. But it feels satisfying that rather than making a U-turn, you have taken some decision and there's some difference. You're doing something new, you know, and something new or to do something new sometimes is gratifying. You know, it doesn't even give you a chance to assess or evaluate whether that new thing is actually adding something to you or not. Do you see? Yes. And that's what happened to this boy. So he goes to add himself to the country, the citizen. The citizen sends him to feed swine. And then the boy eventually comes to himself. And when he comes to himself, he starts to think. And he asks himself, he says, how many of my father's servants have bread to eat and to spare? And I am a son and I'm hanging out here. You see, now this is the problem that the enemy or the devil tries to keep people away from the place of analysis, the place of thinking correctly. It's like he has so hijacked your thinking that you don't get a chance to think straight. All your thoughts are guided by the group that you belong to. The friends you hang out with, the people who surround your life, that whole group dominates your thinking. So even when things start to occur to you in private, you don't seem to have the opportunity or the freedom to think deeply and to say, you know something, things are not going well. That my life is actually going down instead of up. Because the influence of friends and so on has become like a stream. And the stream is moving so fast that you don't get the chance to turn around and to do something different. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But this boy managed. He managed to think it through. And he said, you know, if I would go back home to my father, things could be better. You know, and not only did he think so, in verse 20, the Bible says he arose and came to his father. You see, look at verse 18. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father. You know, in verse 17, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say this to him. And he said, I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, etc., and so on. And then verse 20, and he arose. Because that itself is a step that many of us are not able to take, which is that we know what we must do, but we don't rise up to do it. There are some who know, you know, I need to stop doing this. But they don't seem to have the power to rise up and stop doing it. I need to stop hanging out with this person. But they don't seem to have the power to rise up and stop hanging out with that person. I need to stop eating this. You know, I was listening to the testimony that we saw earlier from the guy called Ian. And as he was sharing the testimony, I was just listening to him. How is it that a young man like him, you know, would separate himself from his family? You know, he said he was into all kinds of drugs. He was swallowing things, drinking things, smoking things, different things that he was just doing to himself. I mean, now we understand that he was not himself. Do you see? He was not himself. Because we are not designed to be able to hurt ourselves. Except if we are under the influence of something. Do you get it? Your body's ability to feel pain was given to you by God so you would stop or you would not hurt yourself. So the way you know that your hand is in the wrong place is when it starts to hurt. That's when you look. You see, for example, if you went to the kitchen and you were looking for a place to hang out and maybe you lean on the stove and you try to put your hand on one of the burners, you're not supposed to do that. But if you did it, the pain you feel in your palm is supposed to tell you, excuse me, your hand is in the wrong place. So now when you have somebody who comfortably rests their palm on the banner and in spite of the pain continues to rest their arm there, then you know that they are under the influence of something. Because if you're yourself, you will not allow that to happen to you. Do you see? That is why when the boy, when he came to himself, he terminated the downward trend, the downward trajectory of his life. His life was going down, first from home, then to a far country, then to a citizen, then to the pigs. Do you see? Yes. Then suddenly he becomes himself, then he turns around. Then he's going back home. He's saying, I'm sorry. Then they are putting a new robe on him. Then there's a ring on his finger. Then there's celebration and there's a party. Just because he came to himself. I want to say to you that believe in demons and their ability to control people's lives and destroy people's lives. Their ability to distract people, to make people lose focus, and to make them lose their ability to pay attention to what is happening in their lives and their circumstances. Believe it. Believe that demons can influence people and ruin their lives. Let me show you another story of a man who was under the influence of demons. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8. We read in verse 27. It says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes. Can you see that? He had devils long time and wear no clothes. Neither abode in any house but in the tombs. So one of the effects of the devils on the man's life is that they took off his clothes. And then they also made him incapable of settling down at home. He says he couldn't live in any house, you see, but in the tombs. I mean, who lives in a cemetery? Do you see? So then what happened? It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him. Can you see that? Yeah. The evil spirit had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So you see, this is somebody who is under the influence of devils. Every effort to contain him, he breaks out of it. He breaks out of every effort to contain him. If you lock the door, he'll break the lock. If you give him rules, he'll find a way around them. Any effort by anyone to restrain this person does not work. And then look at what is happening. He's going to the wilderness, far away places, dry places. And it says he was driven by the devils to go to such a place. Then Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. That means to allow them.
Right.
Now, verse 33. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now, verse 35, when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Can you see that? Do you see once again that somebody is not in his right mind? And how is it showing? Number one, it's showing in how he's dressed. He's naked. He's taking his clothes off. Number two, it's showing in his inability to settle down in a home and be restful in one place. Do you see? Yes. And number three, it's showing up in his thinking. Demons are controlling his thinking. But he obviously does not feel that way. But when the demons left him, look at it. It says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Do you get it? Compare verse 35 with verse 27. It says, the man had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now, when the devils go out of him in verse 35, he's now sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a change in the man's life. And the change is coming from an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus makes a big difference. Yes. In any life. Jesus makes a huge difference in any life. Any life that adds Jesus to it will experience a change. Any life that adds Jesus to it will experience a new life altogether. It leads to a new experience of life. How you see life changes, all because Jesus has now come into your life. Amen. I want to close by saying, today is a good day to include Jesus in your life. Without Jesus, our lives are destined to be controlled by evil spirits and devils. That's what's going to happen. Without Jesus, we'll find ourselves doing things that we can't explain. We'll find ourselves going places, hanging out with people, living a life of sin and celebrating it, thinking we are victorious. You know, one of the things the devil does is to take people's minds off what is really happening until he has totally ruined their lives and they've lost all their opportunities. The boy we were reading about earlier lost many opportunities. He lost the opportunity of even living with parents. The blessedness of the guidance of parents. To have somebody who has lived this life before and has made their mistakes give you a chance at learning from their lives. Do you see? What a blessing it is. Yes. We were driving on some freeway the other day and we saw some headlamps of the vehicles coming in the opposite direction, and they were flashing us, you see. And the person I was driving with was asking, do you know what that means? And I said, I don't know what it means. He said, this man coming is flashing his lights because he's telling you there are cops ahead of you. Do you see? Yeah. He's coming from a place where you haven't seen. And you haven't been. And you don't know the dangers around the bend. And you are just riding at what? 80 miles per hour? 90 miles per hour? And you are just rolling and thinking all is cool. Because all seems to be cool where you are. But you don't know that just ahead of you is trouble and danger. Do you understand? Yes. And of course, me being a stranger, I didn't even understand it. I didn't understand why every car coming was just flashing their headlamps at us. They could tell that the way we were driving, we didn't seem to be aware of what was ahead. There was something we didn't know. Do you see? And the blessedness of growing up living with parents is the opportunity to be guided, the opportunity to be told what to do, the opportunity to be shown how to avoid living a certain life. But there are people who are totally insensitive to such opportunities. They feel like, look, they'll try it themselves and they'll use their lives for the experiment. Unfortunately, you only have one life. By the time you use that one life for the experiment, yes, you do learn the lesson. You get it, but not for yourself. You can't benefit from the lesson because you've used your life for the experiment. So you can only offer the lesson to somebody else and tell the person, you know something? Don't do this and that and that and that. And they also, if they are under the influence of this same spirit, they'll also not listen. And that is why, even though not many new things happen in life, you see life after life, generation after generation, people seem to make the same mistakes. And we seem to repeat the same things. The boy wasted his substance. He wasted everything good that he had. Could you be wasting your substance today? Is it possible that you are living a life that is wasting good opportunities, wasting good people that God has placed in your life, wasting all the good things God has assembled for your life today? Maybe you're wasting it. And if you are, today is an opportunity to fix that. Amen. Today is an opportunity to fix that. Don't take it for granted that you are in church today. Whether you're new or you have been coming to church, believe that God has sent a message your way to speak to you and to let you know that you can live a life that is influenced by Christ rather than a life that is influenced by devils. You can be yourself. You can be in your right mind. You don't have to waste 10, 20 years of your life and find out when you're 25 or find out when you're 35 that, you know, what a waste. Life is a one-way journey. You don't get to go back to fix anything, no matter how sure you are that you were wrong. Yes. You become very certain that some of your choices were not right. But that's as much as you can have. Just the knowledge that it was not right. You cannot fix it. It's like eating food. The only control you have over it is before you swallow it. After you swallow it, doesn't matter what you learn about calories, doesn't matter what you learn about the fat composition, doesn't matter what you learn about what is in it, it's finished. you don't have any more control. Now it will do what it must do. Don't wait till your life enters that phase. It begins by giving that life to Christ. Amen. Amen. It begins by coming to Jesus. You know the story of the madman. He came to Jesus, and that began to make a difference in his life. The story of the man on the video, he came to Jesus. You know, he came to Jesus. I was teasing him and saying, what a blessed joint that last joint was. Yes, because that joint saved his life. He said he hung his rope and he was ready to take his life. And then he decided to just go out to the park to finish that last joint. And it was in that park that somebody came to him and told him about Jesus. That you didn't have to waste this life. Yes. You see, and now he's making a difference in other people's lives. I pray that today God will touch your heart and that you will embrace Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus is not called Savior for nothing. He's called Savior because he really does save you. He saves you first from your sins, and then after he saved you from your sins, he saves you from all the consequences of your sin. Because sin is not free. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He says sin, when it is finished, when sin has processed itself and has completely finished, it leads to death. It destroys. It ruins lives. It destroys people. That's what sin does. But when you come to Jesus, he forgives you your sins. And when your sins are forgiven, they lose the power to destroy your life. It's like being forgiven of an offense. You know, when you look at prisoners, sometimes they are paroled. It's true you did this, but we are forgiving you. With that forgiveness, that same crime loses the power to keep them behind bars. So yes, they are guilty of the crime, but the crime cannot put them behind bars anymore because they have experienced forgiveness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When they are pardoned, it's over. They have to come out of that place. I want to say to you that if Jesus would forgive your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness, your sins will lose the ability to destroy your life. Your mistakes will lose the ability to destroy your life. Your mistakes will no longer be able to ruin your life because God has forgiven you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How many want to trust God for forgiveness of sins today? Stand to your feet and let's pray. Now, I want everybody close your eyes, please, as we're praying. And just for a few moments, just stay right where you are. And I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. I want to invite you to be saved, to experience the salvation that only Jesus can give. When that madman met Jesus, he delivered him from strange influences that were ruining his life, ruining his relationships, ruining his future, destroying every good thing he had in his life. The demons stripped him naked. The demons robbed him of the ability to stay at home. The demons took his life. They stole his life from him. But when he met Jesus, everything turned around. The same person who couldn't stay at home, he was now sitting. The same person who couldn't put on clothes, he was now clothed. And he had his right mind back. When that boy made that U-turn, it was because he had his right mind back. Today, God is offering you your right mind. God is offering you a chance to make a U-turn. God is offering you a chance to save it before you lose it. God is offering you a chance to change something before it's too late. By offering Jesus. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the changer of lives. And he'll change your life. He'll give you a better life. He'll give you a better life. Jesus will not only take you to heaven when you die, but right here on earth also, Jesus will give you a more meaningful life. And so if you're here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to try Jesus, you want to give Jesus a chance, I want you in the privacy of this moment to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand. Raise your right hand. I see your right hand. I see it. Just raise it high up. Just keep it up. Why don't you do me one more favor? Come to me. Just leave your seat and just walk up to me. Just come to me. Come to me right here. Yes. God bless you. Just stand right here. If your hand is up and you are serious about it, yes, just come around. Come. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about your life. Just come all the way. Stand right here. Yeah. No. Oh, no. Just right there. It's okay. Just join them right here. Yes. It's a day to receive Jesus. It's a day to receive Jesus. Jesus will fix your life if you give him a chance. Jesus will fix your life. Yes. Anybody else who needs to come? So we pray together. Anybody else who needs to come? There's nothing to be ashamed of. Today is a day of new beginnings. You can put your hand down. Yes, while you're standing here, yes, you can put your hand down. But Jesus is calling you. Jesus is inviting you. Jesus is inviting you to come to him today. Everything will be new. Everything will be different once your sins are forgiven. All our problems are because of our sins. But Jesus, he saves us from our sins. So if you must come and join them, please. I want to give you 10 more seconds just to come and join them before we say this prayer together. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, just come. Yes. You are here this afternoon. You know you are not yourself. You're not yourself. You don't understand some of your actions. You don't understand why you have turned down opportunities and destroyed opportunities. And you look back and you wonder what is going on with you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to give you your life back. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here, I want you to join me as we say this prayer. And I want everybody else to join in this prayer as well. Just say with me, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. And you died for my sins. Today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive you, Jesus, as the solution to my sins. And I commit myself to you, Jesus. Take my life. Choose me, Lord. And use me, Lord. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And save me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, lift up one finger like this and just say, Devil. Say, Devil. Today you and I are done. Say it again. Say, Devil, before everybody, I testify, I confess that today it's over between us. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Master. Jesus is my Savior. I no longer serve you, devil. Jesus owns my life. He's my master and he's my savior. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Now, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Just keep your eye closed. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for everyone here today who said this prayer with meaning. You know the hearts of everybody. I pray, Jesus, that you will save us. Yes. Let salvation come to every one of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless their lives. As I touch them, Lord, let it be the touch of God. May you touch their lives. May you change their hearts. May you change their lives. Let them never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, do what only you can do. Yes, change their lives. Fix what is broken, Lord. That which only you can do, Lord, fix it for them, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Save, Lord, save and change in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Every one of them, Lord. Let them experience real salvation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. Now, you know, listen, at the end of the service, we have a special, you have it now. Okay, all right, here you go. So here's a gift. We have a special gift for every one of you. And at the end of the service, make sure they all get one. Yes, yes. At the end of the service, would like to meet with, I personally want to meet you. There's a room right when you go out of this place and you turn left. It's the last room on the left-hand side, right? Yes, there's a room there. There'll be some special reception there for you, and I'll come there and talk with you myself, okay? So meet me there right after the service, which will just be in a few moments, okay? God bless you, and you may go back to your seats. Now, also, if you're watching online or listening to us on the podcast and you prayed that prayer with us, I want you to send a text message or call that number on your screen, and someone will respond appropriately, okay? So God bless you also. Amen. All right. Now we want to have communion. So let's have communion, yes. Just pass the tray real quick. And this, please, when the tray comes to you, take one and pass it on. Yes. Thank you.
Is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, drink indeed. A cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh, I will pass over you. When I see the blood,
did everybody get one? Everybody has one. Beautiful. Now we're going to join our pastor from the First Love Center, and he's going to lead us in the communion. Okay. So would you stand to your feet, please, everybody, as we join him at the First Love Center. Yes.
Father, thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus. Now take the blood. May the blood of Jesus speak for you in the gates. Speak for you and defend you. May you be healed through the blood and forgiven through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Lift your hands for your blessing right now. Everybody, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Father, I pray for your blessing for your children. Now put your hand on your belly. Receive healing. Anything that is in you that is not well, anything that is developing in you,
yes,
that is evil, anything that is not going well, in the name of Jesus, may healing come into you right now, yes, at this very time. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let the grace of God appear to every family and every home. Receive healing. Receive blessings. Receive prosperity. Now lift your two hands. Whatever you've been waiting for, waiting to hear, may the grace of the Lord appear to you this week. And may you hear good news this week. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy the end of crisis and the end of troubles and the end of problems in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And everyone shouted, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Beautiful. God bless you. Amen.